El Props Casto, a Breaking Bad review.
Bitch.
You can if you want, but tread lightly.
Well, I'll pros and cons it.
It's in my top 10.
Is it really?
Okay, it's in my top 20.
Okay, we'll get to it.
Okay, it's in my top 20.
Okay. Do you have my notes?
You got your notes. I have no notes. I'm just going solo on this episode.
Okay, but you know what you want to say about the topic.
Yep.
Okay.
I think so.
All right.
See, I'm about to blast that show too.
Oh, shoot.
Hi, everyone.
Here we go. Hi, everybody. I'm Clayton.
I'm Jordy.
This is the Props Cast.
Welcome home.
Oh, welcome home.
Back at it again.
Here we are. We had a little bit of a break. That was more for me than anyone else. It's busy out there, man.
Yeah, there's lots
of stuff
going on.
It's hard out there for a panel.
No, man.
First and foremost, happy Canadian Thanksgiving to all our Canadian listeners. I hope everyone had some turkey or ham or whatever your preferred...
Or beyond turkey.
Beyond turkey.
Beyond ham. What's the next
Does your family do turkey or ham?
Turkey.
We do both.
Really?
Yeah.
We do ham at Easter.
Yeah, we do ham on Easter.
Fuck, I love ham though, dude.
Ham is so good.
I love ham.
I always forget how much I like ham. You know? I'm always like, I want turkey. And then when there's ham, I'm like, I'm really glad there's ham here.
You get that thick ass piece with the sort of briskety kind of meat.
Guy.
God damn.
You're talking my language.
Big old ham piece.
Gobble, gobble. Here's something that I wanted to mention. I'm going to give a shout out to one of our listeners, Paradox Delilah. Extraordinaire.
Paradox.
She wrote a fucking book.
That's cool.
Dude.
And not a fucking biography book or some bullshit.
No.
Like she wrote a story.
She wrote a novel, a science fiction novel. And I've yet to read it, but she did send me a copy to read. But you can get it at Amazon in the States, Canada. I think she just released it in Australia and New Zealand. She's from Australia, so that's cool to have it available. And I'll put a link on our Instagram and our Facebook so you can check it out. Order a copy. There is a Kindle version too.
So oh, thank God.
You can get it.
I know. Is that a book on tape?
I know how much you love. Oh, maybe we could.
We could narrate it for her.
Oh, okay.
Dude.
We should record a snippet and send it to her to see if she'll allow it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, let's both read it and see
at the same time.
Yeah.
Like when you do the book on tape, it's like both of us reading it simultaneously.
How many pages is it?
I don't think that's ever been done. I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to guess 300 to 400. That's a typical novel, right?
Yeah.
I just think it's cool that someone else in film, working 60 to 70 hours a week, wrote a novel. That's a huge undertaking.
Did she do it like while she was working? Like, okay.
Yeah, while she was holding
setups.
The boom.
Yeah. She's one hand on the computer, one hand on the boom mic.
Yeah.
That's really good, man.
I know. It's really impressive.
I don't even know her and I like her.
Yeah. No, she's great. She's on Nancy Drew.
Okay. Well, that's right across the fucking... That's in the same production office as me. So maybe I should walk over there.
Go say hi. Some sad news, though.
Oh.
After that really nice thing. Canada Dry.
Oh, yeah. This is rough, dude.
Pulled out. Pulled sponsorship.
We got dropped.
We got dropped because they decided the Swashbucklers United Camera Club was a better...
better way to go.
A better fit. Even though they don't have a podcast. But anyway.
No. And swashbuckler is two words. So.
As pointed out by Ed Helms. So Pete will.
No, sorry. Swashbuckler is one word.
One word.
Yeah.
So Pete Wilkie and Josh and Alex and all you guys, congratulations on your new sponsorship. I guess we'll just have to talk to Schweppes or something.
Guy, we're going to get, what was the other one? SodaStream.
SodaStream. Here's just off the top of my head, like here's a pitch for a slogan. Get your soda stream when you get your podcast stream.
Dude, that's really good.
I mean, we could workshop that a little bit, right?
You know who else could be our sponsor?
Who?
But isn't as big as it once was.
Who what?
Mio. Who remembers?
Dude,
that's like
you and I were so into Mio. It.
But that's like a whatever happened to shit now.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to Mio, nobody fucking has it because they found out it was chemical. It was chemical poison.
Somewhere I have a picture of you and me and Lori. With like every color of Mio on the tailgate.
Oh, yeah.
She brought us all these Mios and we took a picture.
It was a kaleidoscope of Mios.
Oh, my watch.
So gross, dude.
I think we probably cut like 10 years off for each of our lives.
It's just so gross. People, that was the year and everybody thought vaping and Mios was that answered everything, right? That's when I started vaping the same year.
It was vapes and Mio. Okay. You ready for this?
Yeah, dude. We're reading some emails.
Hit the button.
Mailbag.
The emails. We've got a bunch of emails. We'll have to skim through some of them, but there are a couple we're going to read out. So our first email, we had Tessa Armstrong, costumer. We both know her. We both worked with
her. Tessa.
Tessa commented about our toys episode. She sent a couple pictures of her daughter with her favorite toys.
Oh,
do you
nice.
Remember that one?
Let me see.
It's the Fisher-Price record player.
Yeah.
That has the little...
Dude.
Bling, bong, bling. What do you call that? It's like a music box.
Yeah. That's the only way to describe it.
Dude, I had that. And the wand with the glitter. Didn't you mention that one?
Yes. I got a lot of comments about that glitter wand, actually.
It was one of those things I totally forgot about.
Everybody loved it. Everybody had one.
Yeah, and she's got a Disney princess book here, which I didn't have when I was a kid.
No? That's weird. I did.
Thank you, Tessa, for the email. Your wife sent us an email.
Jordy. Oh, boy. I'm in trouble.
She said, you missed the best live studio audience show, Black Adder, with Rowan Atkinson and Hugh Laurie. I didn't know Hugh Laurie was on that Black Adder.
And yeah. Sure, Blackadder.
We didn't really talk about British shows at all.
At all. We have to do another episode about it.
We didn't talk about Red Dwarf. We didn't talk about...
Fawlty Towers.
Fawlty Towers.
Fuck. Dude, there's so many. Coronation Street. At The Office.
We could do an episode about soaps. Allison sent us a bunch of emails, of course. Yo, dudes, you make me smile. She was really stoked that we had Pete Wilkie on, and she was really stoked that we had Amanda Alexander on.
Oh, good.
Those two go about way back.
Yeah, everybody loved the Amanda Alexander episode, too.
Amanda, if you're listening, thank you again.
Yeah, it was a big hit.
Yeah, it was a big hit. Okay, now here's one that I want to read out. This is from Maddie.
Nice.
The title is A Millennial's Review of Top Gun.
Oh, my God.
I'm wondering if I should read it in my millennial.
Is that even... voice. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, Millennial's
what?
Review. Yeah, sure.
Okay, here we go. She starts by saying, hi. So I watched this little movie called Top Gun the other day for the first time, and it was so good. I didn't think I was going to like it because of how much everyone's built it up, and I thought it was a war movie. But man, does it hold up. The soundtrack is great, even though it's like three songs. Tom Cruise wasn't annoying, and the love interest wasn't a damsel in distress. She was a fucking boss. In the middle of the movie, I found myself thinking, man, I hope nothing happens to Goose. He's such a great character. Oh. Then I remembered I already knew he dies in the movie, but was still surprised when it actually happens. Boom, in the middle of the movie. They were able to do so much with such a simple storyline. Anyways, I thought you'd be happy to know that Top Gun still holds up 30 plus years later. I'm trying to watch more must-see movies. I've missed being a 90s kid and would love to hear your recommendations. I just watched Point Break, as per Dan Miller's suggestion. That's a great movie.
Yeah.
P.S. If you do an episode about ghosts, I'll be your guest. P.P.S. Iceman's a babe.
Val Kilmer. Maddie, he still is, too. Look him up.
He's crazy.
He's a fox.
If you want to see a good Val Kilmer movie, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Yeah. Dude, there's a few. The Doors.
Oh, he's so good in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, though. Him and
Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah. Man, so many emails. It's like...
Well, what do you think about a millennial's review of Top Gun?
Pretty good.
I don't know if I've seen it since then.
Oh, me neither.
I don't know.
I barely remember it.
They all have...
I remember I had the soundtrack on cassette tape.
So did I.
I just listened to Danger Zone over and over.
Dude, yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly.
Just listen to it, rewind it, listen to it again.
Dude... That was back when, like, soundtracks, you just wanted to have them in your life. You wanted to have that.
That was back when more like every movie had a sort of a title song tied into it. Yeah. They don't really do that anymore,
which is probably
a good thing. Because it would just be Taylor Swift and...
Lady Gaga.
Well, Star is Born. So
Star is Born
I
was...
I take it back.
Fucking, we should talk about that at some point.
Do you want to read John John's email?
Yes, yes. Hand it to me.
It's not very long.
He is a loyal listener. That's for sure.
Hi, John John.
Hi, John John. Okay, so his this is from Jonathan Phil, on set dresser to the stars. Yo! It's your favorite bilingual, biracial on-set dresser. As you know, I'm a blunt, harsh critic. Clayton, you real nice with the impressions, like shockingly good. And Jordy, well, Wataskawin. Your storytelling skills are only second to mine, LOL, East Coast competitive arrogance. Seriously, you guys are amazing and balance each other very well. From John John.
Thanks, John John.
Thanks, man. He's a good guy. And he's if he would be honest with us if he didn't like the
show. It's true.
Yeah, he would.
It's true.
He'd be like, you guys should just stop. Stop doing it. Stop everything.
And then Heather sent us a fact-checking. It's not really a fact-checking, though. She said, I just listened to Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Levitt? Jordan Gordon... Joseph
Gordon.
I can't say his name.
Joseph.
The guy Gordon from Third Levitt. Rock. On the Armchair Expert, I guess he took a bunch of time off to raise a family, so that's where he's been.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
And then she went on to talk about Curb Your Enthusiasm and the episode at the Dodgers game, which is the documentary, The Long Shot, which you watched.
Clayton, have you seen it?
I haven't seen it.
Okay, for anyone out there
who
wants
breath.
To have their mind blown, watch Long Shot. It's a documentary on Netflix. And it is one of the most... I haven't been that like mind blown in a while. I was like, holy fuck. How does this happen? B, what a story to tell. 3, how does this happen in our society? It makes me just go like, okay... You have to watch it to know what I'm talking about. I don't really want to give it away.
Because if
I tell anything about it, it kind of gives it away a little bit. Mm-hmm. But basically, it's about this guy who's wrongly convicted of a murder he did not commit.
Right.
And the only way you have to watch it. You have to fucking watch the show. It's so fucking crazy.
Don't get mad at me.
Well, it just makes me mad that I don't like prosecutors and district attorneys and, you know, people just trying to fuck people over just to get a conviction, you know, just as long as we get a conviction, it doesn't matter.
You think the justice system is broken?
I think a lot of systems are broken, but I think that the justice system, yeah, sure. It's in the States, especially, it's very driven towards just getting a conviction. God knows if the person actually did it or not, just as long as we get our person in jail. It's kind of how they look at
Doesn't
it.
Doesn't matter if it's the right person.
And it's like, well, what the fuck is the point of that? How is that? How is that the scales of justice? Do you know? I don't know, Clayton.
On that note, we're going to close up the old mailbag.
Okay.
Love that harp.
We actually, that was a long time. We should have, some of those are old.
Yeah, they're old. They've been building up. They've been stacking up in the old mail room downstairs.
I know. I wish those kids down there would get their fucking shit together.
Okay. Seen anything lately?
Oh,
have you?
Well, I have, yeah.
Oh, tell me about
it. Too much, probably.
I've seen a few things, but I'll only talk about two. One of them is the topic.
Well, yeah, I've seen that, the one we're going to talk about. I've seen Abominable.
Oh, how was that?
It was good. It was good.
Is that the one she finds like a Yeti on her rooftop?
Yeah,
which is funny because wasn't there just another Yeti?
There's Yetis everywhere.
That came out.
Well, we used to have Yeti microphones, me and you.
No, I mean
I have a Yeti water bottle.
No, I mean a Yeti movie, animated.
There was, but it was with Channing Tatum. What was it called? Smallfoot.
Yeah.
I believe
that's the one I'm thinking of.
See, I know all kids' movies.
And there's also a Sasquatch one by Harry
and the Hendersons. Yeah, that came out a while ago.
No. What's it called? It's from the guy that did Wallace and Gromit.
Missing Link.
Missing Link.
Yeah, that bombed, dude.
It did bomb.
Bombed.
It's too bad. I didn't
see it. Okay, but the other night, guess what I did watch?
What?
For the first time, never saw it.
What?
Midnight Express, dude. Have you heard of it? 1970s movie.
Yeah, I've heard of it. I haven't seen it, no.
70s movie.
70s movies.
It's, again, terrifying, fucking brutal. It's about a guy who tries to smuggle hash out of Turkey.
Who's in it?
Via the 70s. No one. Okay. Weird cast. This guy, I can't remember his name, who plays the lead. Kind of a nobody at the time, kind of a nobody now. Brad something, something.
Okay.
Then there's another guy. Fuck, what's his name? Randy Quaid is in it. And I think John Hurt, I think.
Oh,
I think.
John Hurt.
Now I have to fucking look it up. God damn it. See, I do this where I'm like, I watch shit like in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And.
Overall good, though?
Well, the guy tries to smuggle. It starts out with him trying to smuggle hash, right? So he tapes it to his body. Is it John Hurt? Yeah, it is John Hurt. Thank God I was right.
Nice one.
He's taping it to his body. He goes to the airport. His girlfriend does not know that he's doing this, right? Okay. He's got, I think it was like 2 pounds of hash, but all in little bricks. So he's taped it to his body. He goes to go
And he's
through.
With her?
He's with her. He gets through one section of security. Thinks he's like scot-free.
Yeah.
Then gets to another section and they find him and they find the hash and they bust him.
Ooh.
So the first, this is a true story, by the
way.
Oh,
you love true stories.
I do.
Of course, that's
so,
why you watch.
So the first judge in Turkey said, liked him and thought he was like, you know, this is his first offense, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Just gave him a possession charge. So that was 4 years. So he did 3 years in a Turkish prison, which is fucking brutal, right?
Like, yeah.
Brutal. Then this prosecutor, again, this is the fucking justice system. This prosecutor didn't like him and wanted him to serve a life sentence. So then they retried him after this fucking 3 years he'd done.
In Turkey still.
In Turkey. His dad, the American government, was trying to get him out. Everybody's trying to get him out. And then they fucking gave him a life sentence the second time around.
Wow.
30 fucking years, dude.
On top of the 3 years.
Well, just like 30 years. Probably minus three, right? Oh. But I mean, fuck, who knows with that justice system in Istanbul. You know what I mean? It's just brutal. And then, so then he escapes. Like,
oh, wow.
Fuck, he thinks he's going to like, they try to like go through the walls and then they catch them doing that. And then he gets sent to this mental asylum and he's getting beat up by this guy and he pushes this dude up against this and his head fucking gets poked by a fucking coat hanger thing and it kills him right in the back of his like neck spine.
And that's how he escapes?
Yeah, and then he puts on his thing and he walks out. He puts on the guy's uniform and walks
out.
Yeah, it's a crazy story. Crazy. But
great. No, I don't have to watch it.
No, I wouldn't.
This review is brought to you by Perrier.
Mm, ooh.
Refreshing.
Keeping the
better
podcast
than
bubbly since 2018.
Better than Canada Dry.
Yeah, fuck Canada Dry, man. Fuck them.
Okay, I watched The Revenant.
Yeah, and you didn't like it.
I'd never seen it. I liked it, but I think that, like a lot of movies, it was way overhyped.
Why?
Overhyped?
But it wasn't even really hyped that much, was it?
I think because it was shot in Canada, like kind of close to our neck of the woods in Alberta. I feel like a lot of people, even people not even in the film industry, took pride in that fact.
Oh, okay.
And kind of made it like we fucking had a triumphant win for, you know, for our industry, such and such and such. And we know people who worked on it.
We when they were doing it.
So we heard all the tales.
We heard all the stories.
I mean,
about how shitty it was.
It was quite the drama happening.
Because in reality, though, people in our industry and you guys listening, 90% of you are. And you guys know that you love to complain. And do we. Because Clayton, exactly. What's our most popular episode?
Set peeves.
By far.
By far.
Right? But technically the most listens is the Wilkie one, right?
Yeah.
I think so. But set peeves, people talk to us the most.
Well, okay, so Revenant. Like, yeah, I don't know. I know it looked beautiful, but that's because they shot everything with natural light at Magic Hour, which is quite the to-do. For those who don't know, Magic Hour is the time just after the sun has gone down or just before the sun comes up when the sky is at twilight.
Yeah.
It's very beautiful, and I think that, I don't know, it just was like, it was beautiful because of where they shot it.
Yeah. But it's a great story, man. He gets mauled by a bear and crawls out. They leave him to die.
I can't believe he didn't die.
That really happened, dude. It wasn't as dramatic as that, but that guy, Hugh Glass, got mauled by a bear crawled back to camp, to fort.
It's crazy. Anyway, I guess it was okay. I was expecting a lot more. Are you going to sneeze? What are you doing?
No, I'm fine. What are you talking about?
You looked like the bear from Revenant.
I was just trying to do my bear impression.
The bear was pretty good.
The CGI, bear was really CGI. Good. That was that guy. What's his name again? Big what guy.
What do you mean that was
the
guy?
The bear, guy who played the bear.
Oh, like mo-capped the bear?
Yeah, like isn't it the same guy from fucking High Castle? No, his name? He's a big stunt guy. Glenn Ennis.
Oh, I know Glenn.
Yeah. Was it Glenn? Him? I think it was.
Oh. Hey, Glenn, was it you?
Glenn, was that you? Right. Email us, dog or bear, should I say?
Nice one.
That was a bear pun.
It wasn't really a pun.
Okay, but here's the dumb thing. Just I want to say one dumb thing with the Revenant.
Okay.
There's a few, but you're right. Tom Hardy went a little fucking far.
I did. I texted that to you. Yeah. I was like, you can't have six weird things about your character. You can have like two max. He's like, I want to smoke a pipe and I want to like have a weird speech impediment and I want to have like no hair and I want to have.
But he was scalped.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, but I told you that.
Oh, I already knew that.
You were like, his hair was weird. I'm like, yeah, there's a whole monologue about how he
That was a joke.
Almost got,
This is all text. This is why texts never work out. Okay, but the weirdest part is when they come back, when Hugh Glass comes back.
Yeah.
To
the little trading outpost?
No, because when somebody says they saw, I don't know. What happens again? Oh, no. Yeah. He shows up.
At the fort.
Yeah, at the fort, and then they go out at night. I thought that was stupid, where they're like, let's go looking for him at night. You know what I mean? It's like, who's going to do that in those days?
Looking for who? The guy that took off?
Yeah, for fucking Tom Hardy, right? And they all go out with the fucking torches.
Yeah, they did, didn't
they? It's
like,
they would never do that in those days. I mean, I know it's a movie, but it's like, as if.
Yeah, like, what are they going to do in the pitch black?
You couldn't, in the snow? Dude. Nobody would do that. People didn't do that back then.
Yeah.
When you ran out of fucking light.
It's like 20 degrees colder than.
And they even talk about that earlier. They're like, we're running out of daylight. Like when you run out of light, people fucking stayed.
Hunker down.
Yeah. Fuck. In the middle of the mountains. Imagine how treacherous that was. Dude, when you watch it though. When you watch it, you're like, holy shit, people lived so much harder than we did. And we complain about fucking Canada Dry sponsorships.
I know.
And internet connections.
Mm-hmm.
And fucking whether I like Milk Duds or not. And there, those guys had to like tape their fucking or like tie canvas to their boots just to keep their fucking feet from freezing. Like, dude, it was like the way that they strapped those furs to their head. You see those parts?
Yeah, I like that actually. That was a nice
detail. The props were quite. The show looked really well, really well, really well done.
Yeah. Right?
Like the costumes, the props.
Yep. That bear poncho didn't look half bad.
Somebody told you that it wasn't good.
Yeah, it was you.
That person wasn't me, dude. I never dissed the bear poncho.
Didn't someone say that? Who was that? Oh, anyway, I won't reveal their identity because I can't remember. I thought it looked okay. It was not bad.
Sure. It was fine. Dude, if you had to wear a bear poncho. Okay, but what else have you seen lately?
Okay, are we ready?
I think so.
You and I both saw at the same time. 1, 2, 3.
El Camino.
A Breaking Bad movie.
Bow, bow, bow.
Was that the Breaking Bad theme?
Doodaloo.
Nice. That's okay, thoughts, queries, questions?
You start, man.
Well.
You start.
This was Heather's idea to do this episode, and I thought it was a good one because I remember early on in our friendship, even in the Grace Point days, I think, we talked about the props in Breaking Bad, the TV show,
right,
and how much research they did and how they really got the details right. And it's a show that's built around the props dates. And the business of props and stuff. So we thought we'd talk a little bit about the TV show. And the new movie, El Camino. And if you haven't seen the new movie, stop the episode now because we're totally going to spoil it.
Or just know that it's not that good, and the spoiling isn't that big of a deal.
I mean, if you got 2 hours to kill, sure, it's worth it.
Yeah, it just wasn't that good. Anyway, okay, the TV show is fucking one of the best ever made. I'll tell that story.
I thought it was an interesting time to resurrect that world. I wonder what the motivation was.
Maybe they all just missed each other.
Maybe, but I mean,
remember we worked with Michael Slovis.
Yeah.
So me and Clayton, for anyone out there, me and Clayton worked on a show called Grace Point, and we talk about it a lot, mostly because our friendship was kind of, you know, grew on that show.
Yep.
And it had a lot of laughs too.
So many laughs.
But we worked with this director, nice guy. His name is Michael Slovis. He was the director of photography on Breaking Bad.
For like the first 3 seasons, and then he moved to become a director. So he's actually directed some of the later episodes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Great guy. Super talented.
Really nice. Really smart. Mm-hmm. Really kind man. He said that on that show, because we would ask him to tell some stories from time to time. And I remember him saying that everybody loved being there so much mm-hmm. that they would be almost running to work. Like, yeah. They couldn't wait to get to set.
Yeah, he said it was a really fun crew. And, like, I kind of want to know what that's like.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, geez, Mr. Slovis, I've never felt that in 20 years of film, ever. In fact, I dread going to set. No, I'm just kidding.
But I mean, there's something to be said if you were working on season 2 of that show, which was like instant hit.
Yeah, it was.
Right? I mean, you would have a sense of pride working on something that was high quality, popular. And I mean, we worked with Anna Gunn, mm-hmm. who was a treat. Yeah. She's so nice.
I've worked with Bryan Cranston too.
Did you?
Yeah.
When was that?
I worked on this show that was in like 2005 or 6.
Was it with Noni? Because she's worked with him before.
No, it was this show called... This was right after his Malcolm in the Middle kind of somewhat fame. Because he was famous from that, but not really.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He was just the wacky dad from Malcolm in the Middle.
People liked him.
People loved him. He was in the show I did where he... It was a show about fallen angels that came to Earth.
Okay.
And he played the devil.
Oh, and that was here?
Yeah, he just did like a couple scenes where he was the devil, and they had him in this, kind of kimono looking thing, like a gi, you know what I mean? That's how they dress these guys, these angels. I don't know, it's kind of strange. I don't think it was like the greatest show, but it wasn't the worst show either. Hmm. But the only prop that he had was a rose, so I didn't have to deal with him too much. Like he was holding this rose, and then it like. He like puts it down by his side and it like dies because he's got that kind of power. Right. I can't remember.
And so you were like, here's your rose, Mr. Cranston.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm pushing up my glasses that you don't actually wear.
Yeah, I do have them though.
So he was nice?
He was really nice. Yeah. He's super, super normal, like nice, like talked exactly like Walt White. Just like, oh, well, thank you. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He seems very educated.
I think he is, and he seemed just very normal. At the time, like to me, I knew who he was, and mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that's the dad from Malcolm in the Middle. Yeah. Obviously, you know, I introduced myself, but he just seemed like the kind of guy who, at the end of the day, calls his kids type guy.
Yeah. You know
what I mean? Like, doesn't really give too many shits about fucking Hollywood life. I don't know. That's mm-hmm. just the impression I got.
Well, anyway.
Sure.
I watched an interview with the props master.
Oh, yeah.
They did. He did a little tour of the lab. From the show. Remember when he gets him and Jesse are working for Gus?
The underneath the
with the red floor.
Yeah.
So he did a little tour. So it was kind of interesting. It was also kind of hokey because it was for people not in film.
Right.
You know what I mean? But they had like the meth, you probably know this, the meth that the blue meth was like candy rocks.
Yeah.
From this local candy store.
Right.
That at the beginning they just needed little baggies of it, right? And then
they needed then a fucking the end, shit like, bins of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So the bins of course have styrofoam in the middle, so they're not full. The classic trick.
Right.
And they showed like remember what was that character's name? Gabriel?
The little boy?
No, he worked in the lab before Walt.
Oh, Gale.
Gale.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
His coffee station.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he would, like, showed us, you know, shows that stuff. I always thought that was a nice little, It totally isn't a functioning coffee maker, but I liked how it had it all. He had a little station set up to make like the perfect cup of coffee.
Yeah, how did he do again? It was something to do with the fucking the heat of the fucking water.
Something like that.
Gil was such a nerd. I'm glad he got greased.
Really?
He was
nice though.
I'm just kidding, dude. I love Gail, man. I was shocked.
I love that actor too. He's
I was shocked when that happened.
Yeah.
Like, to be honest, I was like, fuck, this show's crazy. Like, I remember the first time I ever, the first episode I ever saw of that show was when the body falls through the
bathtub
acid. And I was like, man, because it had never been done before. That that kind of shit had never really been done.
Well, you and I have talked about how they everything's thought through. Like, there's never those moments where you're like, that seems hokey. Like, as props people, we're always like, okay, so he needs to, in this scene, he needs to like get the file. Oh. And it's always like on the day. Well, the file can just come out of here. Like, it's an afterthought.
Yeah.
But in that show, you can tell that it's like, even when they're writing the script, they're like, yeah, but where does the file come from? So we have to write that in specifically, that it comes from a spot. And then like the set is sort of designed with that in mind. Like, it's everything's
not,
and not just the props, but everything, like the picture cars, the wardrobe, the set deck, like everything really is.
And there's a lot of foreshadowing.
Yeah, so much foreshadowing, and everything's planted, and like, you know, I don't know. It's
like
just,
in the second and third season, or the third season is when the plane crash in the sky, right? And they keep showing that fucking bear.
Yeah.
And the whole time you're like, what is that bear? And like, why do they, why is there like hazmat guys coming to get the bear? And the whole time, and then you find out. I remember that when that fucking happened, when he crashed those two planes together, I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
What? Fucking crazy.
I know. It was like.
And you kind of wanted Kristen Ritter to die. Or what's her name in the show? I can't remember.
I don't remember her character name.
She had the bangs.
God. That's her. That's the actress's name.
Yeah, Kristen Ritter. And you just wanted her character. You're like, God, I hope she dies.
Well, yeah, because she was such a bad influence.
He fucking lets her. Well, because she wanted the money, right?
Yeah. But and then you're like, but Walt's a bad influence on Jesse.
They're all fucking bad. They're Breaking Bad.
Oh, shit, bitch.
Mr. White. Okay, but I was telling you, me and Clayton were talking about, okay, for anyone who doesn't know, for any of our listeners, I almost said viewers, the fucking style of Jesse goddamn Pinkman, okay?
Oh, yeah.
At the beginning of the show, okay?
Like his wardrobe.
His costumes. The hoodies. The toques. Yeah. The fucking pants. The spackled look of the patterns and stuff. The bright colors. That was a style in those days. In like the 2006 to 2009.
Mm-hmm.
But guys used to rock that look. And I swear to God, at the time, I hated it so fucking much.
You're getting all worked up.
I used to go into a store. I'd be like, oh, I need a hoodie. Fucking fall is coming. I need to get some hoodies for work or whatever, as one does.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go into a store, any store, Boardroom, fucking 8th and Main, anywhere. Maybe 8th and Main didn't exist back then, but whatever. You get the gist. You'd go to a fucking store to get a goddamn hoodie. They would all have those colors, those patterns, and it's a forgotten style that was, it was terrible. It was fucking terrible.
Mm-hmm. Even Value Village doesn't carry that stuff.
Nobody has it. That shit is in a landfill somewhere. Seriously, all of it, man. Like, and nobody remembers that. And the only time it was really captured is in Breaking Bad. I swear to God. But then
grows out of it pretty quick.
He grows out of it. Everybody gets. Then it became the black coats and the shaved heads.
Yeah.
Totally shaved heads. Awesome.
Awesome.
That show, though, Breaking Bad, has a lot of fucking shaved heads in it.
Yeah,
it's a legit.
Well, I mean, Walt shaved his head because he had cancer.
He had to. But he didn't lose his eyebrows somehow. Although not everybody does, though. So that's not the, you know, biggest stretch.
Okay, do you want to talk about the movie?
Let's do it.
So it picks up right after the series finale.
Yeah, which it shouldn't have.
And I don't know. I don't know what to say about
it. Okay, so first and foremost, okay.
Did you like it? So
first of all, I did not like it.
Okay.
I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
As do, you know what? I'm going to go out on a limb right now and just say and I've said this before, Netflix movies, like their feature films that they make, and God, I'm working for them. I love working for them, but their movies aren't that good. They're not that well done. They're not feature film quality. I don't know what it is. I've heard The Irishman is the new Scorsese movie. It's being released on Netflix.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's fucking quality because it's Scorsese, but like, I just feel they're not, the quality's not there. What about
Buster Scruggs?
It was okay. It wasn't a fucking life changer. I liked it, but did it change my life? Did I think about it for 2 weeks after? No. I forgot about it like the next day.
Okay, here's my theory about why that is. Is because there's not enough experienced director of photographies, production designers, you know, those key people. There's not enough of them to go around.
Yeah, maybe.
Because the Roger Deakins and the Sam Mendezes of the world are making still feature films.
Yeah,
right? Maybe. So you're getting a lot of people that are maybe promising they will be good, but you're getting a lot of people that are probably doing their first movie ever. Yeah. Like they probably did a short film for the fucking Denver Film Festival, and now they're directing.
That's the worst one.
I mean, Vince Gilligan directed, wrote and directed El Camino.
Yeah. And who DP'd it? We don't even know. Michael Slovis?
I wonder.
I don't know. Look it up. Okay, I'll go
you
on,
talk
though.
While, yeah, you continue here's my, on your rant.
Okay, here's my other problem. I love Vince Gilligan. I think Vince Gilligan is one of the most talented people in Hollywood, without question.
He is a genius.
He's a fucking creative genius. I think just the show of Breaking Bad being created was a fucking monumental feat. I really do. The content, the acting, the... Everything about that show was perfect, right? Even Albuquerque playing itself,
yeah,
just being such a dismal, fucking sunny little fucking grease hole, was brilliant.
We have a listener in Albuquerque.
Well, they'll know. They'll be like, yeah, that guy's right. That guy's legit right. I mean, it's the same thing as Vancouver never really plays itself in a proper way. Do you notice that?
It's true.
It's like all of the people in Hollywood, it's like, just do scary shows here. Don't do fucking shows that are trying to be LA and shit. I mean, I like it because I work on them, but why try to fake Vancouver for LA? What is the fucking point of that?
Yeah, there's probably about 9 palm trees in the entire city.
And it's never really sunny here all that much, right? No. So, I mean, you know, anyway. But I just think so Breaking Bad, the movie, the El Camino, to me, should have been a story where it was like Jesse had escaped. He lived in fucking buttfuck Nebraska or wherever, and then something came back to haunt him, you know, at that point.
A loose thread.
A loose thread.
Like this is 10 years later or 7 years later or whatever it is. Yeah.
Because even like we talked about before, everybody in the movie, it was supposed to be the same day or the next day.
Yeah.
But everybody fucking aged 10 years. Yeah. Well, and everybody had swollen fucking neck jowls, dude.
Some of it is like months before the end.
Yeah. And you're like watching it and you're like, I mean, I just rewatched it. Maybe that's my problem is I just rewatched most of the series in preparation for this episode.
You watched most of the series.
But then I got sucked into it. I was like, I'll just skim through a few apps.
Right, but you didn't.
And I just kept going because it's that kind of show. You can't stop watching that fucking show. Jesus.
Robert Forster.
We worked with him. Yeah, Robert Forster. And he just passed away.
What?
He just passed away like 2 days ago, man.
What?
Yeah, dude.
I didn't know.
I know. Sad.
Oh, my God. 78 he was.
I worked with him a couple times.
He was a really nice guy.
Yeah,
we worked with him on a movie called Confirmation, which we've talked about before.
Yeah, and I worked with him on Alcatraz. Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. Oh, well, that's too bad.
Yeah, it is too bad. But, I mean, you know, sunrise, sunset, I guess. Yeah.
I was going to say Jesse Plemons. Is that how you say his name?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he looks way different.
Dude, Aaron Paul. Yeah. As people get older, their necks get thicker. No matter what you do, it's like you're gonna have the thick neck. Like it's a thing. You can't escape it.
I was just gonna say he is such a creep
in everything he does.
But he's a great actor.
Great actor. You've seen Game Night?
No, I haven't seen that yet. But he's in an episode of
Black Mirror.
Black Mirror.
Yeah, so good.
That he's real creep in.
So good, dude. People are gonna. But the reality is the El Camino to me was just an extended ending of the episode.
Yeah, a it was like extension. You could just tack that on to the end of season five, right? Let's get an extra episode.
And why wouldn't he go to Canada? I mean, maybe he couldn't go to Canada. I don't know. Why would he go to Alaska?
He'd have to go through Canada.
Like, but why the fuck would you want to go to Alaska?
Because
that'd be the worst place to go.
Because fucking what's his name?
Robert Forrester?
No, Mike. That guy.
You gotta go to Alaska.
Remember?
Start fresh.
He dies in that. In
Mike does?
Yeah. In
see, I never got to the whole thing. Right.
Like he dies in
Mike dies. Yeah, I think so.
But then he's in Better Call Saul. Which let's not get into that.
Before.
Yeah, which is before all that. Before he even meets Walt and Jesse.
Should we do a 3-hour episode about Better Call Saul?
I've only seen the first season of Better Call Saul.
The guy, Bob Odenkirk, reminds me a lot of Jason Landles.
Yeah, I can see it.
He looks like him.
I can see it.
Doesn't he?
Jason, if you're out there, you should go as Saul Goodman for Halloween.
You really should. And also, Jason, hopefully you're doing well, because I haven't seen you in fucking 10 years. Speaking of The
Revenant, sorry to poop on your movie guy.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm sure he wouldn't.
The props were great, so. And I know how hard it was out there.
Oh, we're talking about Revenant again.
Yeah.
I thought we were talking, because the props are good in El Camino.
Yeah, the props are good in all the Breaking Bad
They always
stuff.
Do. Those,
that's
those,
the thing.
They do a good job out there.
That's the thing with Breaking Bad and Vince Gilligan is he thinks about all of that stuff. And even in the wardrobe and everything, like how his buddy Slim or Skinny or whatever.
Skinny Pete.
Gives him his toque. Like he wore that toque through the whole series.
Do you think it smelled like head?
Like scalp? But, you know, he gives it. It was just like these little moments I thought were nice. Like. Well, you know, I don't know. I just feel like he really thinks everything out.
And fucking Kevin Rankin, who we also know.
Yes.
He's in it.
Yeah.
He's in the new one, too. And
he looks
Kevin,
the same.
If you're out there listening, dude, that guy's a fucking angel, man. He
remember,
doesn't age.
And remember in Grace Point where he came up to us at the rap party?
And he was wearing like a toque and
toque and sunglasses. And he's like, hey, guys. And he chatted with us and he left. And we were both like, who was that? He looked so different.
Because in that show, he played a priest.
Yeah. And he was all clean shaven.
We had no idea.
And he always wore like a button up collar. And then he showed up wearing like funky clothes and he had grown some stubble.
Yeah.
And he was all loosey goosey. And I was like, who is that guy?
Okay. But here's what I'm going to say. You know what else? Okay. We talked about the tropes of Breaking Bad in itself, right? It
what?
Becomes like a fucking
It sort of
like
feeds
a human
itself.
Centipede, fucking troping. Because but it's its own tropes,
or
it's
an like, Ouroboros, the snake eating its own tail.
Yeah, exactly. Or a daisy chain.
Yeah,
which is I don't even know how you describe that, but on there. But I just mean that, like, so they created their own tropes because they would have like you know adversity. And then illegal actions, and then fucking dramatic, fucking shaved head standoff scene, and then they have fucking
shaved head standoff. You know what I mean? Yeah,
and then someone dies, right? And then it's like,
and it's not usually who you think is gonna die.
No, and then it's like you. I mean, it's great. Don't get me wrong; it's awesome. But I know it has to happen. Almost it happens in every show, Stranger Things. Fucking yeah. Night Court, they all do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's a lot of motifs in Night Court.
Yeah, and they or even like MASH, like they would create their own tropes that they just keep. It's like a fucking vicious circle.
But that's
right?
That's part of the world creating, right?
It is absolutely.
And your own show has its own shorthand to its viewers, right? Like Game of Thrones does it. So you're right. Like all those big shows, they have. I mean, that's right down to the planning in prep, like. Something I learned from my $20,000 of film school is that you can establish a color palette to mean whatever you want at the beginning of a movie. So you can subconsciously tell the audience in this movie you're about to watch or show, whatever, green means danger.
Right.
And red means safe. Like it doesn't have to be what we're all, red means stop, green means go. You can reverse it in a really simple, 2-minute montage at the beginning of your show. And I think that, just more complicated than that, Breaking Bad does a really good job of the, like how you said, there's a lot of foreshadowing using props and set deck and costumes and stuff. And I think that's, they do a really good job of that. Even in the movie, it felt, they brought that tone back.
Yeah. Yeah.
And their picture cars are weird, don't you think? Like Very every weird. Car they choose is
the
like
a fucking Aztec,
like a weird car.
That's what that one was, right?
Yeah, Pontiac that, Aztec that Walter White drove, and then Skyler had that weird
that Wagoneer, Jeep, with the wood Jeep Wagoneer.
Yeah. But even in El Camino, he gets the Badger's car.
Yeah, there's the like Fiero.
It's like such a weird. Like every single character drives a weird car.
It's so fucking Albuquerque, though. I bet.
Probably.
Like, I bet. Yeah, everyone drives those fucking.
Probably,
weird cars
and like
there.
The van that the vacuum guy drove is like a. It's not just a regular minivan. It's like a weird snub. Like what does he describe? Like describes it like a pinto bean. Or something.
Yeah, he's like your van. It looks like a kidney bean.
Kidney bean, yeah. And it's like, yeah, it is. It's a weird fucking
strange
van.
That's a good observation. They do have weird picture cars.
But it's nice because those cars become the part of the character, right? Like they're not just ignored. They're like, you know, there's a lot of scenes where you see Jesse pulling up, and you know it's him because the car is so distinct.
Well, even too, remember his second car after he got rid of his like lowrider? He had that like my dad had one of those cars, those Toyota Tercel. Yeah.
My dad
station
had one
wagons.
Of those too.
Really?
He had fist bump for the Toyota Tercel. It wasn't a station wagon; it was a 4-door hatchback.
Right.
It was so fucking.
Yeah, yeah.
Weird.
That's what we had too.
It was like maroon.
Ours were like gray or blue or something.
Such a weird car.
But those things, you still see those fucking things on the road, mm-hmm. man. Those things lasted forever. Mm-hmm. Like nobody, no fucking, no joke, those things.
You should do an episode about cars, even though I don't know anything about cars.
Nor do I. Or do I even really like them that
Famous
much.
Famous cars. Okay, well, what else? What else did you like and did you not like? How about Bryan Cranston's cameo?
I don't know, man.
Obviously wearing a bald wig. Because his head looked a little bit too big.
And he's aged, so his face looks like...
And that flashback was supposed to be like
before,
from the beginning.
From the very beginning.
Because they
like,
still have... They just did their first cook, I guess. Because there's the bullet holes in the door of the camper. They're at that weird hotel thing.
Right.
He still has his like creepy schoolteacher mustache.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Before he had the goat.
He didn't have the hat.
Heisenberg.
Yeah, he wasn't Heisenberg yet. He was still Walt and Jesse.
Do you know who? Do you know what I think is the best character arc?
Jesse's.
Jesse's is good, and I feel like when Jesse gets like hooked to heroin and fucking the girl ODs, and like he just starts fucking going crazy. Aaron Paul was so good at that. Although there's a few scenes, and I almost blame it on the directors or the producers where. But then you don't know if he's just like reverting back because he's so tired of being sad all the time that he kind of just goes crazy. But I feel like he kind of jumps around a bit with his character development, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if that was purposeful or not. But I feel like Hank had such a fucking great character arc. The brother-in-law.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
Right? Because he fucking killed Tuco. Mm-hmm. And he didn't like that, and he started having panic attacks. Like he you know, he's the cop, the invincible, right?
And he's so cocky in the beginning.
Yeah, and then he kind of because then he gets shot by the fucking twins, right? And then he can't walk, and then
the whole thing
he
with
starts
the
going crazy.
Minerals that he's buying.
The minerals.
She keeps calling them rocks, and he's like, "They're he's minerals, like,
they're fucking minerals, Marie."
Then that's
so sad.
That fucking scene in the garage when he finally figures it out.
Yeah. The Walt Whitman fucking
so
poem and all that shit.
Yes. Tense.
Dude, imagine that. Imagine if you had given your whole, like last 6 years of your life to trying to find this fucking Blue Math and this Heisenberg character.
And he's your fucking brother-in-law.
You're in a wheelchair. Yeah, and it's been fucking, it was Walter White the whole time, your own brother-in-law.
Yeah, and you didn't suspect him at all.
Imagine the wash of emotion that comes on.
That must have been a tough scene.
You'd fucking shit your britches.
Yeah, if you were a farmer in the 1800s. Yeah. Oh, yeah, he did have a really good character arc. And
so good. He's such a good actor, that
guy.
He's a
phenomenal actor.
He's so good.
And yeah, he had a huge range of emotions throughout the series. Because
he had it the worst, almost, when you think about it. Because he's trying to fucking catch them. Mm-hmm. And he's in the dark. But he's so invested in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, because he's got such a huge ego, right? And right from the beginning, because he takes Walt on that ride along right at the beginning, right?
That's
and
where
he's so he's so like proud of his job.
Yeah.
Even before all of the Heisenberg starts showing up. Like he's just so proud of busting, you know, drugs and
Yeah, just being a fucking DEA guy.
Yeah, right? He's just like, ah, oh, yeah.
But he started it because he brought Walt on the fucking ride along. Yeah, and then he's like, how much money do you think?
Yeah, and Walt sees like the shitty setup. Yeah. And isn't it Jesse's cook that they bust?
It's Jesse's cook, and it was Crazy Eight's fucking cousin. Crazy Eight was the first guy they killed.
Right.
He was the very first distributor guy yeah. that they kind of approached. But then Crazy Eight took them hostage or something, didn't he? I don't know. Fuck, there's so much shit in that series.
It's a dense story.
God. But they did, remember they took him downstairs at Jesse's house and locked him up with a bike lock around his neck?
Oh, yeah.
And then he tried to fucking stab Walt with that plate shard.
Yeah.
Remember? Because Walt, yes. That was such a great fucking prop thing too, right?
See? When they break that
plate and Walt's like, wait a minute. And he like puts it together and there's one piece missing. It's yeah. like a stabby size.
See, that's a prop thing that you can't just come up with on the day.
And that's why Vince Gilligan and those guys are so talented, because it's so smart. And Walt had to be smart
to figure that out.
That's not a trope. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like that in itself, like that was the only time that happened in that whole series, I think, where that kind of a trope, you know what I mean? Like nobody's ever done that before. A broken plate shard.
Yeah.
And then he did try to stab him with it. And then Walt had him and he did. He fucking stabbed him in the leg, like as he was choking him.
Yeah.
See, because the whole time, like Walt didn't even give a shit. You know what? You never noticed that?
Well, he didn't actually. He didn't really have anything to lose.
But that's what I'm saying, is that like, Walt was kind of fucking, he's the psychopathic one out of all of them.
Yeah.
When you think about it.
Yeah, he is.
Because he never really cares about killing people and whatnot.
No.
He just wants to fucking keep it going.
I mean, he does have these moments where like shit happens and he's like cool in the moment. And then you see him after when no one's watching and he's like hyperventilating. Like remember the first time he stands off as Heisenberg?
Oh, and with like, with Tuco at the,
yeah.
at the,
and he's all yard. Badass, and then like as soon as they leave, he's like,
like "Oh yeah, yeah, fucking... yeah." Because he's just yeah. I mean, anybody would, especially with Tuco. Fuck that guy.
Yeah, what I mean is he had his moments where he's not all.
But see, that's the problem with the movie, is the movie didn't have him in it. I mean, it did, but not a lot. Like a
cameo.
And then
I thought he was good at bringing the character back,
because it didn't have Hank in it at all either.
No Hank, no Skyler.
Because Hank didn't die at the end, did he? See, this is the problem. I haven't rewatched the ending of it. I watched like the first four seasons.
But I don't know. I honestly don't know if he died.
I don't think he did, man. Or maybe he did. Fuck. People will have
Wait,
to
Wait, no, I
us.
Think he did.
Did he?
I don't know.
You're going back and forth with my emotions
I'm
too much.
Wishy-washy over here about Hank's death.
I don't know.
Survival. Well, there were a lot of characters that they could have brought back for a cameo. I mean, Saul Goodman doesn't appear.
No.
He's
in Winnipeg right now doing a movie. Bob Odenkirk.
Is he?
Yeah.
Bless you.
Ugh.
I mean, the first time I saw him was with David Cross doing Mr. Show. So right. I knew him as a comedian. Like,
see, you told me about Mr. Show. I'd never seen that before.
Yeah.
And then like, I watched it. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah. But I mean, it's pretty 90s. Like, it's dated, but they were funny. And I knew him as a comedian. So when I saw him in Breaking Bad, I was like, wow, he can, like, he's an actor, too.
Yeah.
And the first season of Breaking Bad, or Better Call Saul, I was like, yeah, you know, he's got real good acting chops, in addition to being a comedian. That to me, is always a sign of a very good actor in general, if you can be funny and serious. I think it's really hard to do both.
Really hard.
I mean, do both well.
The best actors can do both.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, they can.
Even Sacha Baron Cohen lately has been doing fucking like that new show, The Spy or whatever.
I haven't seen it, but I've seen the teaser.
The trailer, yeah. There's too many things to watch.
So much stuff to watch.
We've gone through this already. I don't even have, like, I'm surprised I watched Midnight Express, to be honest.
I have a huge list of movies that I want to watch.
Have you seen Run, Ronnie, Run?
I still haven't seen it, but that's the Mr. Show thing.
It's a movie.
That's a spinoff from Mr. Show.
Right.
Because that character was a Mr. Show, like, ongoing sketch.
Right. Because I just randomly watched that one day. I didn't know Mr. Show. Mm-hmm. And then I watched Run, Ronnie, Run. And it was so fucking funny, dude. It's so funny. Yeah.
Well, there was a lot of people, like, in when they did that show, like Janine Garofalo, Ben Stiller.
Oh.
They were all tied into, they were all in that group. Like,
right.
Yeah, Andy Dick. Oh, like, they were all, you know, all those 90s. You hate them?
Yeah. Dude, he's a piece of shit. I've heard some weird stories about him.
He's got a lot of weird stories.
Yeah, like there's some stories you're like, oh, that's yeah. good. But
Okay, well, I don't know. Do you have any closing remarks?
Closing? Guy, we're only at fucking 55 minutes. Well,
I don't know what else I want to say about it. There's so much to say. I never watched Breaking Bad when it was first on. I watched the whole thing, all five seasons, about two or three years ago.
Really?
From the beginning, yeah. Oh. Yeah. So, and I haven't watched
it since. Why didn't you watch it when it first came on?
It was just one of those shows that everyone was talking about, and then I tried to watch the first episode, and I just couldn't get into it.
You're like, whatevs.
Yeah, I thought it was boring.
That happens to me with every show.
And then it was right when the last episode came out. When did it end? Like 2013?
2012, wasn't it? 2013?
Or something like that?
Yeah.
No, it was, because we worked with Anna Gunn, and I had never seen Breaking Bad, and I felt really stupid. Everyone was talking about Breaking Bad, and I'm like, yeah, cool. Yeah.
Does your name have a periodic table symbol in it? Do you know?
I don't know. CL? Is that, what is that, chlorine? What about you? JL? Is that,
I do. Mine is IE. I think it's bismuth. God, that's my fucking street name. Bismuth? Yeah.
That's your meth dealer?
Yeah. I don't deal meth, though.
Hang on. Oh, what do you deal?
I deal Vapes. Fucking spice.
Spice. Okay, hang on. I'm looking up the periodical table of elements to see if
I think one. You can just put your own name in and it'll tell you.
I have C, which is carbon.
Perfect.
But that's kind of a... Oh, CL. What's CL? Let me zoom in on this.
Isn't... Sounds chlorine. Sounds right.
It is chlorine. Wow, yeah. I'm so smart.
Potassium is K. Nobody knows why.
Nobody knows. Well, isn't gold like... Gold?
AU.
Well, how do you know all this?
I don't know.
It's like your weird
memory
states.
Thing. Yeah. I don't know all of them, though. That's it. That's all I got. Gold. Well, you know, I have a collection of gold and potassium together.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to name some... Okay, TE.
Titanium?
Yeah, sure. Arsenic is... Arsenic. Which one? No, it's not. It's... Tellurium.
Telluride. Arsenic? That's a fucking... On the periodic table?
Yeah.
I thought that was a mixture.
Nope. It's an element. Zn.
Holy smokes. You know what that Zn is? Zinc.
Yeah, nice one, bro. Cu.
Copper.
Holy shit. This guy. Mn.
Minneapolis.
Magnesium.
Oh!
Oh, no, it's not. It's manganese.
Manganese. Clinton.
You know.
Get it together.
I don't know the elements. I'm not a chemistrologist.
Dude, that shit that they talk about in Breaking Bad, though, like when he's talking about the fucking the jargon. Wow.
Well, that's another thing that you and I talked about is the whole thing about them making meth. Like they could have easily, like it's not cinematic the way you do it. But they made it cinematic.
Fair enough.
Right? It's time consuming. Right? Yeah. But to make that process interesting in a visual sense and to like present it in a way that was authentic and yet also interesting, I think that's a really hard thing to do. And another show that does that really well is Mr. Robot with coding. Because you know whenever they have a hacker on a movie, it's always like the... like. Really, like on the screen, it's really like dumb. It's like hacking in progress with like a loading bar or something, right? Yeah. But in Mr. Robot, it's really like, it's just illegible. Like you don't know what he's doing because it's really fucking complicated.
It's all code
ready. And it's like, I like when shows do that when they're like, this is actually, no, but like really, this is actually, because the director always says that, like, well, what would they actually do? And then you're like, well, it would be this and this.
No, that's too much.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
and you're like, oh, so that's out the window already.
Yeah, they're always about that.
But I really like that. Like even in the
why? Because it's written. It's written in the script, probably.
That's what I mean.
Montage. They fill the beakers. They fucking do this shit.
Yeah, that's what and that's what I mean about what that show did really well is that all that stuff is thought out. Even the design of the lab underneath the laundromat.
It's all real.
Yeah, it's like they planned it out, where the drums are, where they do the mixing, and like you know they. They thought about it.
They had a fucking meth cook in there. Probably. They had some chemists.
Oh, for sure.
You know, though, the thing is about is that, like, ephedrine, we could actually do this, me and you, if we wanted to cook. We'd have to learn how to do it. Because in Canada, you can get ephedrine as much as you want.
Is that when they were, like, getting the flu capsules or whatever?
Yeah. Like, that's pseudoephedrine, but they're kind of the same thing, pseudoephedrine and ephedrine. Like, in Canada, apparently what I've read is that guys were just, like, meth people were just, they were just registering themselves as supplement stores and then just ordering fucking just ephedrine, like, by pallets. The fucking box loads. Fuck. Yeah.
Jesus.
And the Canadian, like, food and drug was kind of like, well, I don't know, fuck, whatever. Like, in the States, when you go to, like, I was in Vegas and I needed cold medicine. Like, I actually needed Sudafed, right? I was like, oh, fuck, I need Sudafed. So I go to the fucking whatever it was, CVS, whatever. And I get it. And they make you sign a little digital thing when you get it. You can only get one.
Oh, really?
They scan your license.
Really?
Yeah. This is how big of a problem meth is there.
Wow. Right?
But then people obviously find different ways. But
yeah.
Fuck, we could start a super lab right in this fucking room here, bro.
Who says we haven't?
Yeah.
We'll call Mark Freeborn to design it for us.
He'll be like, oh, yeah, I know how to do that. No problem.
Mark Freeborn is the production designer of Breaking Bad, or was, and we've worked with him a couple times.
Yeah, he's good yeah, dude.
Worked with him on X-Files. Name drop.
Big time. Okay, well, I guess that's it. I guess that fucking wraps her up.
What's your review? Meh. In the end,
like, my review is 10 fucking
stars.
MEH, 5. Half and half.
MEH is your review?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, if you really love Breaking Bad, I'm sure you would enjoy it. It's nice to see Aaron Paul on screen again. I think he's a great actor.
He is great. Nothing against the performances.
Yeah.
I just thought, you know what? It's kind of like the Royal Tenenbaums. It's like watching a fucking race car drive slow. It's like, yeah.
You watch your goddamn mouth when you talk
about Wes Anderson. Royal Tenenbaums was a fucking...
In this home?
So boring.
In this home, we don't speak ill of Wes Anderson or any of his films.
Yeah.
Even the Darjeeling Limited, which I think is one of his worst movies.
With Adrian Brody?
Yeah.
Dude.
I watched it again and I'm just like, I don't know. That one is not.
I know what you mean. His stylization is fucking not to be topped.
Did you see Isle of Dogs?
Yeah, I loved Isle of Dogs.
That was a good one.
Isle of Dogs was fucking great.
I thought it was not going to be good. And then it was good. Actually really good.
Those dogs' fucking dispositions was hilarious.
What was Jeff Goldblum's character? You know, we had like the gossip and you're like, where does he get the gossip? He doesn't talk to any other dogs.
Just the way their eyebrows move.
He's like, you know what I heard is that.
I know, and they were just like normal men talking.
Bryan Cranston was one of the dogs.
Cranston. Boom.
Boom. We tied fucking it all together.
Nice one, dude.
Get out of here.
Mic drop. Okay, well, what did you give it then?
I think it's the same. 5.
Yeah.
5, because I could take it or leave it. Like,
yet it's like at 93% on Rotten Tomatoes.
But that's the thing. Here, fuck. Here's the thing, though, right? It's a captive audience. The people that are going to watch that movie... loved Breaking Bad.
But the critics, though.
I don't know what the critics... Would do critics even bother reviewing it? Does it matter? Well, you're not paying any extra money to see it.
No.
You either have Netflix or you don't. That's
the weird thing. Yeah, right? You're right. Does it matter?
That's the thing about... like, people are talking about reviewing Netflix and like how much... I'm like, it doesn't matter.
No. Because you're going to watch it regardless.
You're either going to watch it or you don't. You're already paying for the Netflix subscription.
And if it's new on Netflix...
it's going to come
and
up.
And you sort of like it. Yeah. I mean, you have... Do you notice that? How, like, now I feel like people... Not everyone, but a lot of people just... It's like you kind of need to, like, kill time in your life a little bit.
I have not noticed that lately. No. But I do know what you mean.
Okay, well, not us, but, like, normal people.
Normal people who work a normal job.
Yeah. Dude, because I've been having normal hours lately, and I don't even know what to do with myself.
Yeah, I think if you were working 8-hour shifts, can you imagine that?
8 hours?
Could you imagine that?
To
us, that is an obscenely short day.
I would have to join something.
You would totally be watching a movie a night.
Totally.
Right? At least one. I would watch two.
You need something for water cooler talk.
Yeah, also, dude. Right? A lot of water cooler talk.
Like literal water cooler talk. Like not just
talking to a water cooler.
Yeah, exactly. Talking through it to somebody else.
And then every once in a while goes.
That's how it's an air bubble. Because that's the science behind
it. I like it when it does it when no one's using it. And you're like, well.
And everybody thinks it's ghost. A ghost. Yeah. Everyone's like, what? Huh?
Speaking of ghosts, possible upcoming episode.
Halloween.
Anyway, I don't know why we're talking about the next episode.
Why not?
Let's fucking get out of here.
Okay, bro. Well,
thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks for having us.
I don't know. What's a Breaking Bad way to say goodbye?
See you later, bitch.
Send us an email, thepropscast@gmail.com. Check us out on Instagram, @thepropscast. Facebook, etc., etc. Thanks for the music to Uncle Dan. Thanks for the graphics to my sister Amanda down in the city of Angels.
Los Angeles.
Thanks to everyone for listening.
Thank y'all.
Oh, peace out.
Bye.
Bitch.